On Tuesday night, the state of Kansas churned out some unexpected results. Democrat Laura Kelly was elected governor, defeating Republican Secretary of State and Trump ally Kris Kobach. And Charisse Davids was elected to the House of Representatives. She'll be the first lesbian Native American woman to serve in Congress. In 2016, 56% of Kansans voted for President Trump. So with the midterm election results in the books, what, if anything, have we learned about rural voters? Joining me now is Sarah Smarsh, a Kansas-based journalist and author of Heartland, a memoir of working hard and being broke in the richest country on earth. Sarah, thanks for being with us again.
Thanks for having me.
So how do you explain the results in Kansas on Tuesday?
Well, there are a couple of things. First, I would begin with what I believe is a national trend, just a robust effort on the ground, often by people who weren't previously paying attention or being active as citizens, really rising up, hitting the streets, canvassing. Even moderate Republicans here in Kansas often crossing the aisle to make sure that what they saw as a dangerous strain of conservatism didn't win out in the 2018 midterms. And they seem to have had some success in those efforts. And in addition to that, I think, you know, I would caution your listeners from viewing places that we call red states as monolithically conservative. And so for folks like me on the ground, it's actually not as surprising as it might be to people who rely on a national graphic of our nation that is essentially red and blue squares to guide their vision of the political character and makeup of the country. There have always been a lot of Democrats on the ground here in Kansas and in all red states. And the inverse is true as far as Republicans in so-called blue states. And historically in this country, those slight majorities and slight minorities essentially kind of swing back and forth in their ability to win out. And we had a couple of wins for the blue side this time in Kansas.
And what do we know about non-white voters in Kansas? Because to your point, I do think that, and the media is equally guilty of this, of calling states red or blue and assuming that we know everything about the people that are in those states. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would imagine a lot of the narrative around Kansas is not just that it's rural voters, but that it's also white rural voters. What do we know about non-white voters in Kansas?
Well, here in Kansas, and this is true of a lot of largely agricultural and rural states, we see a dwindling population in terms of trends over not just the last few decades, but really going back to the Industrial Revolution, rural flight has been an issue. And these are states that have been dominated by essentially the descendants of poor white European immigrants long ago. And that population shifted toward cities. And in more recent decades, we have seen an influx of people of color immigrants, often in my part of the country, coming up from Mexico. In western Kansas, our robust meatpacking industry also has a lot of immigrants from even the Middle East and elsewhere. So there are parts of western Kansas that is as rural as you could get, no major metropolis within hours, that are actually white minority locations. And we actually, in one of those places, Dodge City, saw some nefarious efforts at what would seem to be voter suppression by some of the white county officials. The extent to which those efforts were successful remains to be seen, but every report was that ultimately folks were able to access the polls and vote. And we know that here in Kansas, just like everywhere in the country, people of color are more likely to vote Democratic than Republican.
I'm wondering if that had anything to do with some of the results that we saw. We saw not just in Kansas, but Wisconsin, Michigan, and Illinois elected Democrats to governor. Do you think that indicates that there's a pendulum shift happening in some of these Midwestern states?
I do think there is a pendulum shift, and part of that actually, in my view, has to do with candidates like, while Beto O'Rourke didn't end up winning in Texas, I think he kind of exemplifies an effort to reach every county. Progressives and Democrats going into places where folks from that side of the aisle for years were kind of leaving for political dead and saying, I'm showing up for you, let's talk. And I think that that has made some inroads in communities that previously were maybe just kind of under the spell of Fox News or voting a straight ticket Republican in a kind of tribal way. Now, you asked about the rural urban split, and that does in the numbers continue to bear out as a phenomenon here in Kansas, at least. And so you do see, you know, even those places in western Kansas that are quickly diversifying, still ultimately Kris Kobach received more votes than Laura Kelly. And when you look at the map, it is again the places that are most populous, where we have some modestly sized cities in Kansas and some universities in the mix, where the County shows up as blue with Kelly winning out. But I do think that the gradient of the intensity of that red is lessening in the rural places. And that has to do both with a population shift and with earnest efforts by candidates to reach those places with a progressive message.
Let's talk a little bit about the issues that are most important to Kansans. Are we talking about the economy? Are we talking about jobs? What are some of the issues that are top of mind for folks that you think aren't coming across at the national level?
Sure. Well, Laura Kelly really won by saying, I'm going to protect public schools. I'm going to fight for Medicaid expansion in this state where thousands and thousands of people have suffered in that loophole for lack of Medicaid expansion of the Affordable Care Act, and build infrastructure, roads. Not necessarily a hard economic message, but a message about public services and ability to access programs that even a moderately conservative state appreciates about government for the sake of their children and their family's health. And she also very successfully pinned Kris Kobach to our recent governor, Sam Brownback's very far-right tact, specifically on the economy with tax cuts. And that message really spoke to people. And meanwhile, Kris Kobach couldn't have been a more Trumpian candidate in his very harsh focus on immigration and vilification of immigrants, really. He had previously led the now defunct so-called voter fraud task force for the Trump administration. So he was really had a message about a xenophobic message that was attempting to tap into people's fear. And Kelly went with progress and focused on what she knew that everyone in Kansas would appreciate from their state government. And ultimately, that message won out.
Sarah Smarsh is a Kansas-based journalist and the author of Heartland, a memoir of working hard and being broke in the richest country on earth. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tanzina.